be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went into Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. In his commentary on the Gospel of Mark, N.T. Wright tells a true story about a tourist ship that set out on a cruise full of passengers on holiday. And then when they were out at sea, something went terribly wrong, and water began to pour into the ship, and it began to sink. It was nighttime, it was really dark, and all of a sudden there was total chaos. Everybody began to panic. But in the midst of all that chaos and panic, there was one man. He wasn't a crew member, he was just a passenger. But he took charge, and there was a sense of relief mixed in with all the panic as people saw at least somebody was in authority. And they calmed down enough for a lot of people to find their way to the lifeboats in the dark and to get to safety. And then that man in charge, made his way down to where there were people still trapped in the hold of the ship. And by holding on with one hand to a ladder and with the other hand to a part of the ship that was nearly submerged, he made himself into sort of a human bridge. And a lot of people were able to climb to safety across him. And a lot of lives were saved that night that otherwise would have been lost. And when that whole ordeal was over, they found that that man himself had drowned. And N.T. Wright says he had literally given his life in using that authority that he had assumed, that authority by which many had been saved. Today we read about Jesus in Capernaum, which is a little fishing village on the Sea of Galilee. It's basically in the same neighborhood where Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew had all grown up. And it was the Sabbath, which is a Saturday and the official Jewish day of worship, like our Sunday. And Jesus went into the village synagogue, as he was accustomed to doing. And he read the lectionary reading of the day, what we would call. And then he began to teach the people. And as he taught, people began to sit up and take notice. Maybe they were a little sleepy, like we are on Sunday mornings. But they started to sit up, they started to listen, they started to whisper a little bit among themselves, because this teaching wasn't like anything that they had ever heard before. Mark says they were astounded, they were overwhelmed by what they heard. And we shouldn't think that the people were astonished because they were used to listening to men who didn't know what they were talking about. The scribes, who would normally have been teaching on the Sabbath, they were men who spent their entire lives studying the scriptures from the time they were boys. Those scribes knew the words of the Torah and the prophets and the writings, like you know the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm and the Nicene Creed. They were that much a part of them. And not only did they know the Holy Scriptures, they had studied all the writings of the learned rabbis who had studied the Torah and the prophets and the writings for centuries before them. These were learned men. They were faithful. They were dedicated in their studies. They were highly respected in the community. They were men who were knowledgeable in all matters of the law. writings. But when Jesus sat down and began to teach on that day, there was such a difference that people looked at one another and they were utterly astonished. For the first time in their lives, the teaching they heard was something much more than just holy learning. The words that Jesus spoke to them reached out to the people in that synagogue like the hand of that man in the hold of the tourist ship, like that hand reaching down into the hold where all those people were trapped, offering them a way out of death into life. Jesus' teaching reached out to those people in Capernaum, their deepest need. And much later in Jesus' ministry, Peter would put it like this, on a day when a lot of people who had been following them had fallen away, and Jesus asked Peter on that day if he was thinking of leaving him as well. And Peter's answer was this: where else would we go? You have the words of life. Because that's what the people of Capernaum were hearing on that day for the first time, not just teaching, not just knowledge, but words of life. People were already amazed and astounded by Jesus' words, and then suddenly there was a man in the synagogue with them who had an unclean spirit. And it seems that this spirit spoke out from within this man. It knew who Jesus was. It knew what Jesus was. It felt his authority just as the people were feeling his authority. And it cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" In other words, "You have no business here." And it said, kind of fearfully, "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." And as the already astonished congregation watched and listened, Jesus commanded that spirit to be silent and to come out of the man and obey him. And the people marveled all the more. Even the unclean spirits obey him. What kind of teaching is this? When John wrote his gospel about Jesus, he began with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." One of the most amazing things that Jesus came to reveal is that God's Word has power. At the beginning of everything, remember, God said, "Let there be light," and suddenly there was light where there had never been light before. And when Jesus came and he called the dead man from the grave and said, "Lazarus, come forth," a dead man came forth out of the grave alive. When the people of Capernaum heard Jesus in the synagogue on that day, they were hearing the teaching of the God whose word makes things happen. They were hearing the word of God who is the word of life. And they could tell, they could just feel, even before Jesus commanded the unclean spirit, they could tell that here was some kind of new teaching, the likes of which they had never heard. And we've all heard Jesus' teaching about the man who built his house on a rock. Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them," not just everyone who memorizes them or can recite them chapter and verse, but who does them, who puts them into practice, "that person will be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain falls, and the floods come, and the winds blow and beat on that house, and it doesn't fall, because it's been founded on a rock." And then, of course, there's the other guy who hears the words of Jesus and doesn't put them into practice, and the rains fall, come, and the floods come, and the house is swept away. And we tend to think, when we think about hearing Jesus' word today, that Jesus is telling us just that he expects us to obey him, that he's promising our lives will go better if we follow the rules that he's laid down for us. But if there's one thing that we can learn from the people's reaction in Capernaum, it's that when they heard what they heard in Jesus' teaching, was much more than rules to be followed. Rules weren't anything new. The scribes were very good at telling people how they ought to live. That's what they did best. That's what the law was all about. Jesus' words weren't demanding something from the people. They were offering something that had never been offered. Jesus' words were a lifeline. They had had real power. They had authority over the unclean spirit in their midst. They heard something when Jesus spoke that offered hope, that offered a light, something to grab onto, like the man down in the hole that was thinking. And the thing is that the Word of God is still here. We have it today. It's here to offer us hope in our most hopeless times. And it's not just a matter for us of knowing that there's some magic proof text in the Bible for every trouble in our lives, that if we just find it, then we'll be comforted and it'll be all right. Because we believe that the Word of God, not just the Bible, but Jesus himself speaks to us today through his Holy Spirit. There's power in the words of the Bible when we study it. And I think especially when we study with other people, even though it was written hundreds or thousands of years ago, it speaks to us. It speaks powerfully. It speaks intimately, personally to us. And we come away changed. But God also speaks through his Spirit to us, speaks words and thoughts that change us, that guide us in the moment. He speaks to us through his people, our brothers and sisters. He speaks through you to me and through me to you. He speaks in the symbols of bread and wine of the Eucharist and the water of baptism. He speaks to us in the works of nature and all their beauty and power and brilliant design. And I think it's really hard for me to communicate that this is a reality in our lives. It's so easy. I was listening last night to a podcast about a man who's a poet, and he was raised in the Southern Baptist Church with lots of traditional religion, and he's come back to religion, but it's all very fuzzy. It's all very unfocused. It's all very impersonal. But if there's anything I want to communicate from this story, it's that the power of Jesus to speak in our lives, to do things, to make changes, to help us, to be with us and comfort us in a real way, we still have that. We don't have a faith that just deals with dead words and codes of behavior. We proclaim that we believe in a living God who speaks to us today. We proclaim a God whose words have authority in our darkest times. In times like today, when Sharon is so sick and we're so afraid for her, we can believe that God is speaking into that situation. In all the individual circumstances of our lives, and everyone here is dealing with hard things, with scary things, with grief, with uncertainty, God is speaking into those things. It is true. And when we face all these things, all these overwhelming things that the world just piles on us, I would urge you today to watch, to listen, to reach out, even in our panic, because it's okay to panic, it's natural. Reach out for the one who has the words of life, who is the word of life, because he's here today and he will be here tomorrow and he will be here with you forever, no matter what you face. Amen.